This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Bug the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, we've been talking since the beginning of 2022 about how terrible this team is. We really thought like this was just a horrible team, and it turns out all we needed was Anthony Mantha. That's all we needed.
And Oshie.
He came back, sure, but really
he got two goals last night.
He did. He looked good. Last second of the game, TJ Oshbabe was able to get that goal, send it into overtime. But here we are, Anthony Mantha, you are the answer. Welcome back. We've missed you, buddy. The Capitals have been on quite a roll since we talked last. I'm a little surprised at how well they are doing. Peaking at the right time. We were worried about the Capitals even making the Stanley Cup playoffs, but it seems as if now, you know, the gap between number 8 and number 9 of the East is getting farther and farther apart. And you know what? I'm going to say thank you, Anthony Mantha. Joining me as always, Coach Dan. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you, sir?
Are you as good as the Capitals are doing right now?
You know what? I'm probably close to that.
You think you're close to that?
I mean, I think there's a possibility.
Okay. All right. I hear you. Well, the Capitals, they've been up and down in 2022. Luckily, right now, they are on quite the up. And this has been an historic week for the Washington Capitals. Lots going on as they enter Western Canada. We got to say big congrats to Nick Backstrom and Alexander Ovechkin. But Nick Backstrom, got to say 1,000 games played with Alexander Ovechkin. And then in Edmonton, he was able to get his 1,000th. You can't say that word.
It's hard.
It's really difficult.
Right? Like, that is not an easy word to say.
Yeah.
I always botch it when I'm talking about, like, players' contracts. And I'm like, he's getting paid 775,000. No, that wouldn't make sense. I was going to say 1,000. 1,000th point.
Right. He got the 1,000th point. Let's just say
that. We all sound like the Tasmanian devil.
But big congrats to Ovi, but even bigger congrats to Nick Backstrom. You know, it's these guys have always been paired together. They're always like, ever since they've entered the league, these two guys have been synonymous with each other. You think of them as a pair. It's kind of crazy that Ovi's having this big goal-scoring milestone this week while Nick Backstrom's getting all these points that we're not going to say the word of, and they've played 1,000 games together. What a duo. I mean, when they go into the Hall of Fame, I feel like they have to go in together.
It's certainly a possibility, assuming that they retire at the same time. I have to imagine that they end up in the Hall of Fame together. And that would be quite the ceremony.
What they really should do is they should have individual Hall of Fame inductions and then induct them as a pair as well. They get two Hall of Fame rings.
I think that's fair.
I think so too. I really do.
I'm down for that. I mean, they basically are the same person.
Right? Well, no, they are very different people. Very different people.
Well, that's true. Backstrom's a little bit more reserved.
Yeah. Who is the Ovi? Who is the Backstrom of our duo?
I think it depends on
the day.
I think right now I'm the Backstrom just based on your attire alone. I am definitely the Backstrom.
All right, I can agree with that. Yeah, but big congrats to them. Do you have a favorite Ovi Backstrom? I mean, besides the cup, of course, but a favorite Ovi
or dancing in Vegas.
There you go, an Ovi Backy moment in their career together.
Yeah, I think when the Ovechkin came up to announce that they were taking him, Backstrom, that is. I think that's actually pretty fun. You know, there was a lot of, I don't know if you've seen the sort of the behind the scenes video stuff they put out years ago, where it looked like Boston was going to make a pretty hard push to take. That's they called him the Swede.
Yeah.
But, and it's out, McPhee, the GM at the time, was just kind of messing around with them, being like, I don't know what we're going to do, trying to see if he could get a really good deal or something. But I think the entire time they had every intention of taking Nick Backstrom and making him a Washington Capital. Turns out it was a good move. Worked out pretty well for him.
Yeah, absolutely. Very good move. Yeah, these guys, synonymous with each other. When the Caps put out that graphic of 1,000 games together, they put out a video at 8:19 at night. Brilliant marketing right there. Absolutely loved that. And then I put it up on my Instagram, my personal Instagram, and I had that line, you know, after me, I give it to you, babe. So, I mean, that's just synonymous in that group hug of when they became Stanley Cup champions. Ovi knew exactly who he was going to pass that cup to. And, I mean, who else but Nick Backstrom? I mean, it just makes total sense it would be Nick Backstrom. So,
I mean, it had to be.
Had to be. But congratulations to Backy getting all those points, 1,000 games together. And now Alexander Ovechkin is tied for number 3 in goals scored. He is tied with Jaromir Jagr. And you actually, we were wondering a couple shows ago, if you remember, I said, does he hit it by the beginning of March? And you said no, by St. Patrick's Day. You might be right on the money if he can get this game, if he can get in the next two games.
Hey, I'm the coach.
Wouldn't it be kind of interesting, though? So they're up against Vancouver on Friday. Wouldn't it be interesting if he beats Jagr's goal scoring record in the same arena where he just laid out Jagr during the Olympics?
I mean, the poetry there would be fantastic. You know, I don't know if it's necessary. I'm not sitting there being like it has to happen there, obviously, but it would be highly entertaining.
I mean, I don't know how many people remember that, but that rejuvenated Jaromir Jagr. He was not playing in the NHL at the time, and then he got hit so hard.
He came back and he was like, I must stop Ovechkin.
He got hit so hard by Ovi, he's like, I got something to prove. I want to go up against this guy again. And it brought him back into the NHL.
Sure. I don't know how much getting laid out by Ovechkin that made him go, you know what? I want that to happen again. But, you know, there's the possibility that he, you know, I was like, oh, I can take a hit and keep going. Maybe I can go back to the NHL. But I think we might be giving him too much credit. I mean, the guy's been playing for 800,000 years.
And he's still playing.
My guess is he probably already had plans to go back into the NHL and just hadn't done it yet.
And it's just rejuvenated him a little bit. Was like, yeah, okay,
maybe.
Fine. But those two guys have an historic week. But welcome back to the lineup, Anthony Mantha, TJ Oshie. I think we saw how important these two guys were. Anthony Mantha came so close in Edmonton to winning this game in overtime. I mean, that may have been the loudest ping on a goalpost I have heard ever. I mean, it was so incredibly loud, so much force. He almost, I mean, within inches could have ended that game. And they could have gotten away with 2 points. Unfortunately, they only got away with one. But you got to thank TJ Oshie for that last second goal in regulation to at least get a point out of this game. And when you're going on this Western Canadian road trip, it's a long time to be away from home. Back-to-back games on Tuesday and Wednesday. For them to get out of these back-to-back games with 3 points, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, you're going in, the Western Canada road trip is always, not always, but on occasion has been a bit of a difficult one for this team.
It's usually in, I think, the end of October. It's never this late in the season.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I don't know if it's always there, but it definitely is pretty often.
I remember specifically Hockey Night in Canada intros on Halloween where it's the Flames versus the Capitals.
I mean, it definitely is earlier in the season. No question, argument there. So it's a little weird to be this late. But, you know, you're coming out of this thing right now. You've gotten a total of 3 out of 4 points. I would have expected to be the other way around in terms of getting maybe 1 point in Calgary, considering the run that they've been on and getting 2 points out of Edmonton. But I'm not complaining either way. And I think if you can go into Vancouver, who's really pushing for a playoff spot, if you can get some points out of there, even if it's 1 point, if you're getting 4 out of 6 or 5 out of 6,
right,
that's a good road trip. I mean, the Western Canada road trip's not the easiest one to go on. So, I mean, this is a Caps team right now. They do have Columbus in their rearview mirror, and they've been able to put a little distance between them And the Caps, you know, they were, I think I was listening on Caps this morning. They were talking about how, well, I think it was a week ago or maybe a little more, Columbus was 8 points back. Now they're 13 points back. So the Caps are adding a little bit more distance. They're currently, although Columbus does have two games in hand, their Caps are currently 5 points. I was just trying to do quick math in my head. It should not have been that difficult. 5 points behind Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's got a game in hand. They're also five behind the Rangers, who've got two games in hand. And they are 11 behind Carolina, who is just running away with this thing at the moment. So Caps still have plenty of work to do before the end of the season, but it looks like they're starting to turn things up a bit and playing a bit better lately. And it's perfect timing for it, because this is a team that definitely needs to keep their momentum going. And getting 2 points out of a Vancouver team that I think they said on Caps this morning is 8 points out of a play. 2 points. Am I reading this correctly? Are they 2 points out of a playoff spot? Look at Vancouver.
I think they're 3 points. If I'm reading this correctly, they're trailing Dallas by 3 points.
Oh yeah, right. You know what? I was looking at divisionally, and that's why I got confused. Yes, they're 3 points out of a playoff spot. So they're going to want every point that they can get. So that's not going to be an easy game in Vancouver. You go into that great Pacific Northwestern city earlier in the season, you're probably coming away with 2 points without having to put up too much of a fight. But right now, this is a Bruce Boudreau led team. This is an offensive led team. It's not going to be as easy as it used to be.
Yeah, and I loved it. I think Bruce stopped by when Vancouver was in town and said that Ovi's getting off the ice and calling him coach and stuff like that. And Bruce is like, "I'm not your coach anymore, dude."
Do you think that happens though? Like when you're playing in the league, right? And you worked with probably a coach for a year or two at least, I would imagine. Do you think the players are going around and like they see an old coach, they still call him coach?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, yeah.
But like, you know, do you go and if they see Trotz, are they like, "Hey Barry, hey BT"? You know, are they kind of that thing, or are they still calling him? I doubt anybody calls him BT. Or are they just calling him coach? Because yeah, that's got to be confusing if you're like, if say Trotz is talking to Laviolette and, you know, Backstrom rolls over and goes, "Hey, coach, which one?"
I mean, I'm sure they go up to Barry and they say, "What's up, champ?"
That would be so dumb. Oh, but I want that to be the case because it would be funny. What's up, champ? Like, it almost makes it sound like he's like a little kid.
Yeah, right.
Hey,
rubbing his head for luck.
I mean, it worked.
100% did, yeah. I'm happy with the way the Capitals have handled themselves in this the Western Canadian road trip. I think they've done really well. It looks like they have a fight underneath their butt again. They've got some rejuvenation going on. Is this still a perfect team? No, I don't think so. I think they still are going to want some extra pieces. I don't think they're going to be happy with what they have right now moving forward. I think goaltending is still a very big issue right here. I think VTech, at least this week, has shown that he's the clear number one and that Sammy's number two. Sammy gave up some really juicy rebounds in Edmonton. He's not living up to all of the hype that Ryan has told us about with this guy.
Just throwing Ryan under the bus.
Sure, that's what I'm going to do.
It's all the Canadians' fault.
Right. He should know better. He's Canadian.
I think Vanecek is skating away with this thing.
Yeah.
And I think he's playing better than, obviously, Samsonov right now. And I think they're going to go, again, assuming they're going to make the playoffs, they're going to go into the first round with Vanecek as their guy, unless they're able to go out and acquire a goaltender at the deadline or near, you know, before the deadline. And, you know, the more and more we hear about it, I feel like it's less and less likely. And I feel like what we're going to get is maybe some scoring depth. And that would be probably about it. I would not at all, unfortunately, be surprised to see them be a bit quiet this deadline.
I mean, Brian McClellan did say that they are going to be more conservative than they have in the past. I mean, look what they did bringing in Anthony Mantha at the very last split second of the trade deadline. I think all of us were kind of like, "Oh wow, they're pretty quiet. They didn't really do much." And then like, hold on, wait, Jacob Varana's leaving town, and I think we were all kind of shocked about that. But supposedly feelers are still out there for Marc-Andre Fleury. They still want him to be a part of this team. He still doesn't want to be here. I mean, as much as I think he would be a great addition to this team, especially as a rental, and it definitely would step up the goaltending for this team, if a guy doesn't want to be here, doesn't want to go up against his old team, I don't think that's a recipe for success, because if he doesn't want to be here, he's not going to play as hard as he should. He doesn't want to be here. So don't bring him in if it's a guy who doesn't want to be here. It'd be like if I asked you to do my Ravens podcast called The Call. You don't know what's going on there. You don't care.
Hey, I could. That's true, but I could make it up and just play it off. I'd be like Lamar Jackson. I don't know, man. We got to see what we got from him. You know, he didn't have a great season last year. You've got to get a better line. Got to protect him. You know, is he going to be a running quarterback? A lot more running quarterbacks get hurt. We got to keep him in the pocket. You can see if he can throw. See, I could totally pull that off. They're like, what about the running game? And I go, it needs to be good.
Yeah, you know, you got to get your feet underneath you. You really got to get down the field.
I don't know anyone else on the roster.
Right, you got to find those holes. So, yeah, definitely. Absolutely. But yeah, enough Ravens talk here, but I don't know. I think VTech is your number one. I've been preaching that VTech should be the number one for a good section of the last 2 years. But I think he's come back. He's, after his injury, and seems like he's rejuvenated. He's playing better than he did in the past before the injury. So, I mean, I think,
but that's the key word there. Injuries.
Yes.
That's what's done him in
a lot. Yeah.
No, I mean, that's the big thing, is that he needs to stay healthy. And if he can't stay healthy, then it doesn't help the team. So I still want them to go out and acquire a goalie. I still think Vanacek can get a little bit more work as a backup and still get to play a bit. And if he's not the guy, then he's not the guy.
I mean, when is Sammy's contract is up after this year, right?
Both he and Vanacek are RFAs at the end of the season. I mean, Samsonov's coming off a cap hit of $2 million, so he's going to want more, I would imagine. And Vanacek's coming off of $700,000 and change. So if I'm the Caps right now and I know I'm going to need some extra cap space, I mean, right now they are projected to have, let's say the cap ceiling, like 80-something million?
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, they don't have a ton of cap space, I think, but it looks like, I mean, they have some moves they need to make. You're looking at, after this season, it's not just the goalies. You're looking at Snively needs to get re-signed, although his thing, he's a UFA G6. So I guess he goes to being unrestricted, but I wouldn't be at all surprised to see the Caps re-sign Snively. I think he's done well, and I think he's earned at least another opportunity this season if he comes back. I think he should be back in time this season.
We should bring that up, that he had surgery to fix a bone in his wrist. He's out 4 to 6 weeks, but there's potential of him playing still if the Caps do make a run in the playoffs.
I mean, I think if I'm the Capitals, he's at least a good guy to have as a healthy scratch.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's not going to cost you a ton. He's coming off of a contract right now at $750,000. He's 26. I think he's a good guy to have on the roster. He's a hometown kid. I think you want to keep him around because he's shown that he can produce, and if he has opportunity to keep doing it, maybe he plays every night. But, you know, I think he goes in, he has a good camp in next September, then I think he has an opportunity to make this roster and play night in, night out. But you're looking at needing to, you know, either re-sign or replace Justin Schultz, Michael Kempney, Matt Irwin are all restricted, projected to be unrestricted free agents, and then Daniel Sprong is going to be an RFA. But your forwards are all signed up for a while. You know, Nick Dowd's, his new contract kicks in next season. So they've got some interesting moves they got to make, and if you trade or for someone or acquire via free agency a goalie, you know, I think Samsonov's likely the guy that's, he's your trade bait. You're moving him out. Vanacek's going to be cheaper. He's only a year older, and he's going to cost you a lot less.
So what else should we cover here in Caps world?
You know, I mean, the team, like we talked about, team's getting better. They got to keep it up. I was actually looking at, there's an article on The Athletic from Tarik El-Bashir. Had a lot of interesting notes that we can talk about real quick, that Caps still looking for a goalie, but he's thinking it's likely a rental, which is a little disappointing, but I understand that. I think they really think they got something with Vanacek, and maybe he's just not there yet. Maybe he's one of those goalies that kind of blooms a little bit later.
Yeah, I figured it would be a rental.
I was hoping for someone that'd be around another year or two, but it looks like that's not going to be the case. So we'll kind of see what happens if they can find someone. But it sounds like the team's not willing to part with top prospects or high draft picks, which I think is the right move. You know, they could. Tarik thinks if they get a player in return that has term, which means that they have a couple more years in their contract, that they could part with top prospects or high picks. And he mentioned Connor McMichael and Hendrix LaPierre as players they weren't willing to move on from. They talked about how they've actually, interestingly enough, added a number of amateur scouts. They went from 10 to 15 during the pandemic, and the team is looking to add more. They added three people to their developmental staff, so now they have a total of five. Their pro scouting staff is still the same. And Tarek was talking about this. He believes that the reason for this is that the team is looking to the future and, quote, mining prospects will take on greater importance in the coming years as the organization transitions from a star-laden outfit to a retooling one. And I think this is a good idea because
they're prepping for post-Ovi.
Yeah, this is a team that's looking to they're going to be a different team in, you know, a couple of years, 5 years, 4 years, something like that. They need to have some prospects in the pipeline that are ready to start playing at the NHL level that are the next level of stars.
Yeah, we've kind of seen this in the last couple of years when a team does go on a run, kind of like Chicago or even Detroit, who has been in the playoffs for so many years, that they kind of – certain stars leave town, and then they're kind of in shambles for a couple of years, and they kind of have to rebuild. It seems like the Capitals are trying to dissuade that from happening to them and at least prepping for the after Ovi years.
The post-Young Guns?
The post-Young Guns,
the
yes.
The two that remain.
The millennial movement.
I mean, Ovechkin's 36. Backstrom is 34. He'll be 35 on November 23rd. Ovechkin turns 37 in the middle of September. But Ovechkin's still got 4 years left on his contract. Backstrom has three after this season. I wouldn't at all be surprised to see Backstrom sign a one-year extension at the end of his contract, and then they can just kind of retire together.
Right.
And then, you know, you're looking at Oshie's getting older, so you're looking at a post Ovechkin Backstrom Oshie era. The rest of the, you know, guys on the roster probably Eller, but maybe not. But everyone else on the roster has the opportunity of sticking around and being those veterans for the next set of young players. I mean, Kuznetsov's only 29. But if you're looking at what did I say, 4 years from now, so Kuznetsov would be 33, Mantha would be 31, Wilson would be 31. These are your veterans. You know, if you have Hathaway around still, he's probably not. He's 34. McMichael's 25 at that point, so he's probably hopefully solidified himself as an NHL player. And then we have a guy like Axel Janssen-Fjällby, who's now filling in for Carl Hagelin, with Hagelin being out indefinitely after having successful eye surgery. But Janssen-Fjällby, or I think they just call him on the broadcast, they just call him Fjällby. I heard that at one point. I was like, are we shortening it now? Is he just Fjällby? So he's looking good, and he models his game after Hagelin, and he's playing it looks like just as well. I like this move. So it's going to be interesting, and I think it's the right move to. It's definitely going to make. It's a good idea because you need to be prepared for the next step. Otherwise, you're going to end up like, to an extent, like Detroit, where they were just going all in on their players as they're getting ready to retire, and then they've been kind of not a very good team for a while now.
Now, let me ask you about Axel Janssen-Fjällby. It's like you said, it seems like he's going to be the guy to replace Carl Hagelin moving forward. Do you think that's the right move? Because earlier in the season, we saw kind of like the carousel of different Hershey Bear players coming in the lineup, out of the lineup, in the lineup, out of the lineup. It was hard to keep track of all the players that were here and figure out who was going to be on the ice what night. Now it seems like they're pretty much saying, all right, earlier this year, we looked at everybody. We've been most impressed with Axel, so he's going to be our guy moving forward. Were you surprised that Axel was their pick, and are you surprised that they are going to keep him long-term up top?
Well, I think they kind of have to keep him long-term up top, but I wasn't necessarily surprised that he's the guy to replace Hagelin because he's the one that plays the most similar to Hagelin's play style. So it was, to an extent, a like-for-like to bring him in. And so I think it makes the most sense. I think if they're looking to replace a forward that's, you know, top six or a little more offense in his game, you'd look at bringing up back up a Leason or a Protas. So I think this move makes complete sense. And when Hagelin was out, my first thought was, all right, so they're going to call up, you know, Axel and have him play on in his spot and, you know, be on the PK. He's doing stuff like that in Hershey. Like I said, he models his game after Hagelin. It's a perfect opportunity to transition from an older player, no offense, Carl, to a younger player that's playing the same way.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what he does. I am. I do want to see what Axel can do, and he's been in the organization for a couple years now, so it's good to see him up with the big time. So I'm happy to see him there. So, what else are we going to talk about? Oh, we got to bring up the fact that the Caps are going to be in a stadium series and they will get yet another new sweater to wear next year. Wouldn't be a What the Puck episode if we didn't talk about some high fashion going
That's
on.
That's true. So, yeah, Caps are going to play Caps are going to play Carolina. Yeah, they are. In North Carolina next season, you think it's going to be a football stadium or they like to do baseball stadiums more? I always forget.
Football. I think it's a football stadium.
Yeah, football stadium. So I think that makes sense. You know, it's unfortunate it's not a home game because that's more fun for us. It's unfortunate against Carolina because they're really good right now. And the Caps are doing really well in outdoor games. They're, what, 4-0 at this point?
I think so, right?
So
it's going to be at the North Carolina State Carter Finley Stadium in Raleigh.
So, yeah. But, yeah, the Caps could have five different jerseys next season. They have the normal home and away. I still feel like they need to mix up the home and away jerseys. It's time to
– Yeah, need an update.
A little bit of an update to those. They're going to have the mediocre blues.
The good ones.
They're apparently –
Make that the primary.
They'll have the Stadium Series jersey, which I'm sure is going to be garbage. Because I think I've yet to see a Stadium Series jersey that I actually don't mind. And then they're going to have a new reverse retro. So that'll be interesting. I'm curious. And I still am a little fuzzy. I feel like it's only going to be some teams, not necessarily the Caps, that'll get a reverse retro. So I'm not entirely sure how that's working out. But it would be pretty cool. I like the reverse retros. I actually thought they were fantastic. I have one sitting on my eBay like watch list because I can't tell if it's legit or not. But it's for much cheaper than I, you know.
Then it's not legit.
No. Cheaper than the rest of them are going for. It's still like $80. So I'm like, that's tempting. So I don't know. But yeah, I'm curious to see what these jerseys look like. I'm guessing we won't see them until, I mean, the reverse retro probably over the summer, maybe late summer. But the Stadium Series jersey we may not see until, you know, into next season.
Yeah, I mean, I figured maybe they would put them out before Christmas, get the Christmas shopping rush done. But I'm intrigued. I mean, you were not a fan of the Stadium Series sweaters the Caps wore in Annapolis.
Blues?
I love them.
I feel like they.
Oh, so this would be more. This would probably be a white jersey then. I wonder if they bring back like the Winter Classic throwbacks for that, like the first Winter Classic
so
that were
vintage,
throwbacks of the yeah
the vintage whites. No, I. I feel like Stadium Series. The NHL always goes a bit weird.
Yeah, it's true.
So I think they're gonna do that. I think the reverse retro might be more of something like that, but the Stadium Series one, I think, is gonna be more like it's gonna say Caps across it again, or it'll have the Weagle on the front or something.
What if they do like the Capitol building, that was a black jersey, but do that in white?
That'd be interesting.
That could be interesting.
I mean, I gotta see. I'm a visual learner. I gotta see it.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, there's a start to it there.
All right. Is anything else going on in Caps world?
No, I think we covered everything. You know, Carl Hagelin, feel better. Joe Snively, feel better. We need you back. He's doing really well. I was, you know,
he was
disappointed
doing
really
he got hurt.
Well. That was unfortunate timing for him. But I think they may have, you know, they may have a little gem there.
And he's a local kid.
That's always nice to have.
Yeah. All right, that's it for what's going on in Caps World. Now let's go down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, let's start in Hershey, where the Bears went 1-2-1 with a win over Lehigh Valley, but losses to Hartford and Charlotte, as well as an overtime loss to Springfield. The Bears dropped to fifth in the Atlantic Division with 61 points, six back of first place Springfield, but they're only two back of second place Charlotte. They'll be back at it on Friday in Bridgeport before hosting Lehigh Valley on Sunday at the Giant Center. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 1-2 with a win over Orlando, but losses to that same Orlando as well as Atlanta. They're currently sixth in the South Division, 30 points back of first place Atlanta. They'll be back at it on Friday, hosting Greenville at the North Charleston Coliseum before hosting Norfolk on Saturday. They then head to Atlanta on Sunday. In other Stingrays news, the team announced on Monday that they have relieved head coach and director of hockey operations Ryan Blair from his responsibilities. Assistant coach Brendan Kotick has been promoted to interim head coach, while Ryan Bork will be the interim assistant head coach. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, well, Stingrays, not a good season, boys. Not a good season, so that's unfortunate. But go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL and beyond. Everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL and beyond. There's a lot to cover, so Coach Dan, catch us all up. What's going on around the NHL and beyond?
Well, let's start in Toronto, where Wayne Simmonds became the fifth black player in NHL history to reach the 1,000 game milestone. So congratulations to him. A couple notable signings have happened since we last chatted. Let's start in Arizona, where they signed former Capital Travis Boyd to a two-year, $3.5 million extension. They also signed your boy, Liam O'Brien, to a two-year, $1.55 million deal. Seattle signed forward Jared McCann to a five-year, $25 million extension. And Philly signed defenseman Rasmus Ristolainen to a five-year, $25.5 million deal. Nobody got now, suspended or fined.
That's good.
Well,
that's
done.
Good. I have heard some rumors, since we're bringing up Philly, that at the trade deadline, the Capitals are potentially interested in Claude Giroux. Did you hear that?
Yeah, there's been a bunch of teams that he's been rumored.
Could you see him heading to D.C.? I mean, that would be quite the pickup for
The Caps. I mean, if they're going to bring him in, they have to think we have a real shot at something here. Because right. That's going to cost you probably a Hendrix LaPierre or Connor McDavid? Connor McMichael. That'd be cool if we had Connor McDavid.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's pretty good.
Yeah.
In international news, the United States and Canada women's hockey teams will have a gold medal rematch on March 12th, hosted in Pittsburgh at PPG Paints Arena and organized by the PWHPA. While it is not uncommon for these teams to have rivalry series that can lead up to the Olympics, it's a little different. This will be the first time the teams have taken each other on after the Olympic Games. The PWHPA held their Secret Dream Gap Tour DC Showcase over this past weekend at MedStar Capital's Iceplex. Team Sonnet won the championship game by a final score of 10-2. That's a whooping.
Yeah.
That's not a whooping. That's a whooping. That's how bad it was. So congratulations to them. On Monday, the NHL provided formal notice to Russia's Continental Hockey League, the KHL, that they have suspended the operation of their Memorandum of Understanding. In a memo distributed on Monday to NHL general managers and then obtained by the Daily Faceoff, the NHL instructed its teams to immediately cease all dealings, direct or indirect, with the KHL and KHL clubs. This is a quote. And all representatives of both, as well as with player agents who are based in and continue to do business in Russia. The NHL notified the KHL that it will continue. This is in quotes. Whoa, I'm hitting stuff on my desk. I'm so excited. Will continue to respect existing and future KHL contracts, end quote, though will no longer have the ability to verify contractual status directly. Teams will still be able to sign free agents from the KHL. However, this will impact how quickly they can get the player under contract.
Yeah, so this is not a dangerous situation, but the KHL and the NHL have always kind of understood each other that they won't mess with another player under contract with the KHL. Like, the NHL can't just swoop in and be like, hey, this guy, it should be on our team. Here's a buttload of money. Leave the KHL and come over here. So now, since the NHL and the KHL won't do business, they're kind of taking players on their word that, oh, yeah, I'm not under contract anymore. So this could be a very sticky situation, and it could affect the NHL and how it operates, because a lot of players have gone back and forth. I mean, we saw Kovalchuk do that. But think about it. We're recording this on Thursday, March 10th, and 8 years ago was the debut of Yevgeny Kuznetsov. So it took a long time for him to get from the KHL to the NHL. And now that they don't have a working agreement, players like Yevgeny Kuznetsov might not be coming to the NHL at all. So this is quite the situation that the world is in right now, and it's affecting hockey and how, you know, the NHL, you know, you can't have the best players if you're not going in the world, if you're not going to use certain leagues. So just crazy time we're living in right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no kidding. That's news from the past week in the NHL and beyond.
All right, Coach. Well, is that the show?
Yeah, man, I think that's it. Let's wrap it up.
All right, well, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Also, on Twitter, what is up with this new layout on the phone with the home and the latest tweets split up? I will never use the home button. Make it go away, Twitter. That is stupid. But you can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You're so angry about that.
It's dumb. Look at it. I'm never going to use that.
Wait, what are you talking about? What is you talking about? There's
what is
oh, latest tweets versus home?
Yeah. I am never gonna use the home button.
What's the home one where like it picks what you want to see?
Yeah, it picks
always latest tweets. Yeah, no, that's dumb. Why would you
unpin your latest time? Yes, unpin.
No, no,
thank
no.
You.
You want to pin your latest because latest is better. I want to unpin home.
Yes.
But you can't do that.
Well, that's stupid. I have 942 blocked accounts. Wow, look at that.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Anyways, what are we talking about?
You're supposed to say where people can tweet to you.
Oh. You can find me on Twitter at WTPCoachDan, talking all kinds of Capitals-related stuff, including the fact that it's hard for me to watch games when they're that late at night because, you know, I have to go to bed. But yeah, find me on Twitter, talking about Caps, Arsenal Football Club, Bills, the Commanders, and other things related to the wide world of sports. That's finding me on Twitter at WTBCoachDan. But hey, if you've enjoyed the show, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we'll post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of things related to the Washington Capitals, Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, Hershey Cubs, and other things that Brandon finds funny. He will post there on the Facebook page, facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, earlier we were talking about the Baltimore Ravens and how I could totally be on that podcast and have no idea what I'm talking about, but make it sound good. Is there a way for them to view this podcast, and what's it called?
Is there a way to view the audio podcast?
I don't know. I like botched the sentence and tried to just steer my way back into it, and I just completely lost track of how to make that not sound stupid. But yeah, moving on.
Right. Well, hey, if you are a Baltimore Ravens fan, make sure you're... See, I can't do it either.
And you want to watch Brandon's podcast.
Make sure you check out the Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast where me and my buddy Josh talk all things Baltimore Ravens football. The draft is less than 50 days away. Free agency's coming up. They're letting people go.
Carson Wentz.
The Carson Wentz is
no
a commander.
No idea why.
Yeah, well, can't. Yeah. So I mean, he fits the bill. That's why. So, yeah, you can listen to my Ravens podcast called The Call wherever you listen to this show as well. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's go over the games until we talk again. There are only two games until we talk again on Friday, March 11th. The Capitals are in Vancouver up against the Canucks. That game starts at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington Plus. And then on Tuesday, Caps are back in D.C. up against the Islanders. That game is at 7 o'clock. That's more like it. And you can watch that on NBC Sports Washington. So only two games until we talk again. So the boys get 3 days off, travel back from Vancouver, back home to DC. That's a nice little flight right there. So, enjoy your time over in Vancouver, boys. Take a nice little nap there, and then get ready to go up against Barry Trotz, champ, as we like to call him, and the New York Islanders. So, Coach, I think that's the show.
I think so, man.
All right. Well, hey, if you guys enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe on wherever you listen to your podcast. Write us an Apple Podcast review. Tell all your friends. And then say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.